The words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be always acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Today's the second Sunday of Lent, which means we're seriously into the Lenten season. The initial drama and shock of Ash Wednesday are over. After a week and a half, Lent has lost its appeal and novelty. By now, we've either broken all our Lenten resolutions and settled back into our old ruts, or else are smugly self-satisfied that we've managed to keep whatever minor amendments of life we condescendingly offered to God as bargaining chips. Life is pretty much back to normal. We may even be a little embarrassed by our Ash Wednesday exuberance. To deal with this complacency, which is, if it's not addressed now, will grow until it overwhelms us and vitiates the entire positive effect of Lent, and thus denies us the joys of Easter. The Church assigns a series of heavy-duty lessons to be read on this Sunday. They confront us in our complacency and jar us into remembering the purpose of Lent. Today's epistle begins with a plea. We beseech you, brethren, exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and please God, so ye would abound more and more. This sermon and the sermon every Sunday has no other intention than to remind you of what you've heard and to urge you to follow it, to adhere to it. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Those commandments were summarized at the beginning of this service. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. After exhorting us to adhere to the faith we've been taught by the Church, Paul cites widespread sexual misconduct and fraud among the Thessalonians as two glaring examples of how lightly the Thessalonians take the injunctions of the gospel. He could just as well have cited any number of other sins among them, and indeed he does. In the next paragraph, Paul exhorts them to love one another more than they're currently doing and to mind their own business. Evidently, the church at Thessalonica wasn't that different from most parishes today. The reason that Paul attacks these negative activities so strongly is that they interfere with the basic vocation of the Christian. God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. We're called to holiness, and when we engage in activities which are contrary to the love of God or the love of neighbor, we show our contempt for God. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God. At first glance, today's gospel doesn't seem to mesh very well with the epistle. We have the unusual sight of Jesus appearing to be less than compassionate. Jesus is preaching and teaching in Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman, a non-Jew, approaches him, beseeching healing for a possessed daughter. At first, Jesus totally ignored her. Then his disciples remonstrated with him. But Jesus replied that he was sent only to the house of Israel, the chosen people. Finally, the woman confronts him, begging for the least bit of mercy. Jesus relented and healed her daughter. Now, obviously, this story is told for a purpose, to illustrate something. Jesus, being God as well as man, was all compassionate. So the story is not told to show how persistence or what came personal pick on his part. I would suggest that Jesus in this incident is modeling behavior common both to us and to the Thessalonians in today's epistle. The Jews of the gospel era, the Thessalonians of the epistle, and we ourselves have one thing in common. We all consider ourselves God's chosen people. They and we tend to look slightly askance at those who did not come to God at the same time or in the same way as we did. Today's gospel, Matthew is addressing those Jews who were mortally offended at the idea that the salvation of Jesus was available to Gentile as well as the Jew. In the epistles to the Thessalonians, Paul is dealing with a parish that is persisting in its own headstrong and uncharitable ways, while at the same time harshly treating newcomers who seek the message of salvation. The faith is not our own personal possession. Obviously, the only Christian response is that which was shown by Jesus in today's gospel, to share the gift of salvation with all who seek it. Only God can give us the power to do that. Should you doubt that this hardness of heart has been a recurrent problem in the history of salvation, you only have to turn to the portion of the prophet Ezekiel, appointed for morning prayer today, to see that self-centered elitism has been a constant problem for God's chosen people. The lesson's rather blunt. It says simply, if a righteous man turns to evil, he shall die, and if an evil man repents and turns to righteousness, he shall live. That's God's way. Yet you, the people of God, complain that it's not just. It's your own ways that are not just. The prophet is addressing the same problem encountered in both today's epistle and gospel. The chosen people were offended that God was offering his grace and mercy to those who did not meet their standards. They felt that as a chosen people, God's elect, they should have some say in how God dispensed his mercy and salvation. Isn't this a common human failing? We all share it to one extent or another. I imagine the original apostles must have occasionally felt a certain amount of envy and resentment that Paul, a zealous persecutor of Christians and a latecomer to the movement, became a very successful and prominent apostle. And isn't this the same attitude, the same sin that caused Adam and Eve to be cast out of the Garden of Eden? Is it not this attitude which impedes the spread of the gospel? How do we overcome this negativism that seems inherent in ourselves? The way we defeat all those nasty little negatives in ourselves and ugly little sins, as well as triumph over grosser sins and failings, brings us back to today's collect and the purpose of Lent. Almighty God has seen us that we have no power of ourselves to help ourselves. We ourselves can't overcome the evil and pettiness within us. Keep us both outwardly in our body and inwardly in our souls, that we may be defended from all adversities which may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts which may assault and hurt the soul. God alone can preserve us from the harm of evil and overcome the evil within us. Let us pray that we use this Lent, this time of reflection, as a time to draw closer to God, that he may rid us of our faults and sins, so that we may gladly bear his message and love to all the world. Amen. Now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be all praise, Lord, honor, glory, and dominion, now and forever, world without end. Amen.